You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Joining me in studio today is one of my favorite organizations to talk to for a variety of reasons, one of them being Michigan, but we won't talk about. Well, actually, we might talk about Michigan a little
go
bit
blue.
Today.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Yes, go blue. We have Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, in studio with me, and it's a pleasure to have you back in studio.
Thank you, Sarah. Good to be with you here.
Yeah, great to have you. And usually we talk about where you've been traveling, but you haven't been traveling a lot.
No, we've been working on things. We actually have an anniversary coming up, so that's this year. We decided last year we would not be a good year to focus on our 25th anniversary. For some reason, there was some other anniversary going on, 500
just
years.
Something else,
or other.
Little
yeah.
going on, yeah.
So actually, beginning November 10th, 1992, mm-hmm. That would be then the beginning, which was last fall, of our 25th year at Lutheran Heritage Foundation. And so we'll be having a major dinner and gathering of supporters of LHF on November 10th, Luther's birthday, which is when we founded it, in the Detroit area. So November 10th, mark the date, we'll be up there and bringing in about nine or ten of our foreign guests from Asia, from Eurasia, and from Africa to also share about the work that they have accomplished.
That's awesome.
Over these past 25 years.
Yeah, and you've done... There's been a lot happening over 25 years.
For 25 years, and the retrospective is that most of it began with our founder, Robert Ron, handing out Bibles with our coordinator, who's still our coordinator in Russia, Konstantin Komarov, in Red Square. Bibles in Red Square in 1993, when Russia was a far more open country. Mm-hmm. We have been able to, after all those years of communism, I tell people that most Russians were familiar with Marx and Engels and Lenin. So, I mean, it was a real change. A church that had been destroyed, Lutheran Church, was completely closed in 1939. It's the theme of my dissertation, which is why I know a few things about it. And basically with the opening after the fall of communism then in 1991, mission groups came in. And you could do things like that. You could hand out Bibles on Red Square because Russians were eager to get God's word. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you had the cults coming in. So you'd hand out Bibles, but if you weren't following up with teaching and good literature, you could conceivably see a Russian who's used to reading Marx, Engels, and Lenin trying to open that Bible up and say, what does it say? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And someone sidling up next to that person saying, oh, I'll tell you what that means. And by the way, you should add this Book of Mormon. It'll really clarify things for you. Or perhaps this Watchtower tract. Mm-hmm. And that was what happened. The cults came in also. So there was, of course, a backlash. But we had the opportunity then to do Walther's Long Gospel. It was one of the first books. We did a summary called God's No, God's Yes. Бог говорит да, Бог говорит нет, as we'd say in Russian. And we had that translated. We had we handed out bilingual Bibles, English and Russian. And then we're able to begin with children's Bible storybooks, Luther's Catechism. And so restoring the Lutheran witness to a country that had seen Lutheranism there since the 1560s and was destroyed, of course, in 1939, and all churches were closed.
Yeah.
Pastors arrested, exiled, and executed. So it was really our beginning, and since then it's expanded now to about 102 languages in 83 countries around the world. So that's God's doing. It wasn't even the plan.
Yeah. I pulled up your project list before you were here, and it just blows my mind every time I look through what you've been doing. It's impressive.
It is, and it's what man conceives. I mean, we really had expected our work to be mostly Russia, and I was a volunteer in Russia, so I was Bob Ron's pack mule, who would often bring books back for him. And then, you know, it's just a couple of years ago, they decide, okay, well, you're not going to pack mule anymore for us. You're going to be the guy. So, so I've been connected with them for a long period of time, and I've seen the positive effect that Lutheran Heritage Foundation has had on Russia, but then, of course, expanding to so many other places. First Latvia, then you get Sudan and Cambodia. Now you're going to areas where there has been little or no Christian witness. So it's being able to explain the faith is important to those who now are inundated with different understandings of Christianity. And so I think we have a great opportunity, and we really try to work closely with our mission partners. I was just talking to my old colleague in Russia, Brent Smith, and Brent and Gary Tees at Mission Central. They pass out our book list. They let missionaries know going on the field what we have. And so we partner with groups like Mission Central, who do just fantastic work, too.
Absolutely.
In supporting our missionaries.
Absolutely. What significance is it for these people to receive the materials that LHF produces?
Oh, I mean, I've got, in fact, if I show you one of our brochures of the project list, it's a picture that was taken in Bortown, South Sudan, a couple of years ago. And the gentleman is just holding this catechism in his language, Dinka, to his chest. And his eyes are closed, and you can just kind of see, wow, this means so much to him. And I've heard this repeated by countless numbers of different countries in different languages. So that's encouraging to me to go to a place, you know, like Bortown, where, you know, I looked at National Geographic a year before, there were 100 people lying dead on the street because of tribal warfare. Ugh. And when I was there, that was 2016, they had all the blue helmets, the UN was everywhere. So it's fairly safe and fairly secure right now, but that's always bubbling below the surface. And so some of these people are really dealing with questions of life and death that we don't have to deal with when you're stuck in a civil war. And to have the comfort and the encouragement of God's word and understanding of the faith is so important, I think.
Yeah, I think that's something that we, as English-speaking Americans, at least, we don't often realize how precious these things are, having a Bible and a catechism in a language we can read, because it's readily available. We get them in grade school. Yeah. You know, we get them in catechism class. Not a big deal, but for a lot of people around the world,
it's the first thing, and it's so unique, which is why we have just hired Reverend Dr. Dinku Bato, who is a native Oromo speaker from Ethiopia. He is actually based up in the Twin Cities. And so he will be overseeing not only our work in Africa, which we're working in 25 countries, he'll be overseeing work in the United States among African diaspora groups. And many are coming to the LCMS, many like Pastor Dinku, who came from Elka background, because Elka was working in Ethiopia, and they saw the very, put it politely, faulty theology there. And so many of them are saying, wow, we're more in tune with what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod teaches. And so we want to really have someone who can begin to connect to African groups in the States. And although African generic, of course, there are so many different African tribal groups.
Sure.
Just talking to Dr. Bato, we've gotten clarity that a white Anglo like I could never have in speaking to different disparate African groups, and he can do that, and he can give us insight. So we're thrilled to have him. We'll be installing him at Jehovah Lutheran Church up in St. Paul, Minnesota, next Sunday, March 25th, whenever this goes on.
You mentioned it a little bit, but what is that cultural significance of having somebody who can really reach out to people and have that insight? How valuable is that for you?
Well, I mean, it's always, you know, the questions that we raise. You know, we're ready to give the material, but we don't often know what questions are there in the back of the minds of Ethiopians, for example. Like Dr. Bato, he knows these things. In fact, he's been in Ethiopia where he saw faulty teaching, and he actually used our materials while Makana Yesus was still affiliated with Elka. He said, I didn't see things that were really helpful for our teaching, so I used your books. I used your material. And so once again, you know, we say, okay, well, we're gonna hire you. No, we're gonna call you. We're gonna call you to do this work because you know the questions that Ethiopians have, and it's always interesting because people who come from a culture in some places where there are, you know, animist understandings of faith, those who understand and see what's going on can begin to address questions that we would not know because we would come from this Western mindset, a little more rational.
Yeah.
And for some of them, they see very clearly, you know, issues that relate to the occult, for example. You know, Dr. Bob Bennett always talks, I think, very intelligently about that with Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are important insights that we would not have, but they would be dealing with other questions. And so we want to tap into their minds.
Absolutely. So we have just a couple of minutes left. What's on the horizon for you in the next couple of months?
Well, once we get Dr. Bato installed next week, he and I, right after Easter, are going to be heading to Kenya, to Ethiopia. Speaking of Madagascar, we're going to go there and connect with Dr. Rakantani Rina in Madagascar. And then we're going to go up to South Africa, where we have been doing some work in Tswana and different languages. And a good friend of mine, Pastor Chris Weber, who is a missionary for the ZELC, for the German Independent Lutheran Church in South Africa, also does work among Indian-speaking people groups in Durban. So hope to see some of that work, many different people groups, and then get to the seminary there in Pretoria, where we want to see their literature needs and what we can do to help out with that.
Absolutely.
So that's going to cover most of next month.
So you have traveling coming up, going out into the field, meeting people, checking up on work.
Correct. And then our colleague Ted Nathalong is actually in Southeast Asia right now. So I'll join him in Cambodia and places like that in probably late August also. And hopefully go with my good buddy Nilo Figuer from Lutheran Hour down to Chile or some places in South America, because we have just completed a children's Bible story book, Child's Garden of Bible Stories, in Spanish.
Nice.
So that's going to be disseminated throughout South America, Central America. And of course, we're going to bring that up to many working Hispanic ministries in the States.
Absolutely.
So my sister is the VBS teacher, the Sunday school director for St. Stephen's Lutheran Southwest Detroit. And she said, okay, I'm getting a box, right?
You need that.
So
absolutely.
Gotta make the sister happy. And that area of Southwest Detroit is, you may be aware, is very largely Hispanic now.
They have really good Mexican food there.
And they do.
Yes.
And I've been
really
there.
Good. Yeah. Yes. Well, Pastor Heise, it's been a joy having you in studio with us.
Thanks.
And blessings on your upcoming installation and travel and everything that comes your way.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.